Let's turn to Matthew 24 and look at part two of the Jesus Plan, Christian Living in the End Times. We're going to look at Matthew and Daniel a little bit, because right now on the East Coast there have been meetings with the Israelis, the Palestinians, and the Americans, and riots are taking place in the Gaza Strip, on the West Bank, and there's a lot of anger right now going on in the Middle East. Follow me at verse 15. Matthew 24. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then, and then is the key word, when you see this abomination and desolation, then there will be great tribulation, and look how bad it is, such as not been seen, or not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall it ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Last week we looked at sign one of Christian living in the last days is to be watchful. And we realized in looking at the verses that we looked at in that message, deception in the last days would probably be the prominent thing. Religious deception, political deception, media deception, all sorts of deception. And lots of lies going on. The second thing that we want to look at right now for Christian living in the end times is to be ready. And the key here is that he gives us something called the abomination that makes desolate, or the abomination of desolation. When that comes to pass, tribulation far surpassing Noah's flood or any problems we've had, ice ages or anything, has never been seen on the earth nor ever would be seen. It's going to be so horrible. So now we know that there is an element, a political element involved that we could be watching in the news. It would involve, in your lifetime, peace in the Middle East. It would mean that there's a way the Muslims and the Palestinians and the Jews all came together and allowed for the temple to be rebuilt. And this is what he's referring to, that the day is very near for you. It could happen in your lifetime. All the elements for the interior of the temple have been made. All the robes for the priests have been made, according to the design in the book of Leviticus. The $25 million golden candelabra is there. The brazen laver that the priest, after they would slaughter the offerings and bring the blood offerings, they'd wash their hands under this brazen thing. All the trumpets, the brass trumpets, have all been made. There's about 200, maybe 250, who they've traced their bloodline all the way back to the Kohens, which would be the Levitical priesthood tribe from the Old Testament. They have been in training for the last several years. An embryo from a Swedish red heifer has been bred a number of years ago, and there may be, for all we know, a small herd of these very rare cattle. The red heifer was in the Old Testament and was the sacrifice that would be burnt with the ashes of the wood and then sprinkled for the sins of the nation. Everything for the Jews to reinstigate their practices of worshiping Jehovah from the times of Moses and the early temples is all existing. And in the last couple of days, the United States government has been hosting the Palestinians and the Jews, and they have agreed as of yesterday that they would agree to having a peace summit next year. So that's how far away they are. They've agreed to agree. In the meantime, the West Bank ignited the last couple of days, and the Middle East is in turmoil again, and oil has gone to about $100 a barrel, and the whole world is suffering right now and is going to suffer more, it appears. But just recently, in the last couple of days, Abu Dhabi and their large multi-billion-dollar oil company just bought a major portion of Citibank in the United States of America. The Chinese, in the last last two weeks specifically, have warned that unless the U.S. dollar gets stronger, they're going to dump our treasury notes. They buy about $5 billion a week from us, $5 billion a week. And our dollar right now, as of yesterday, was 62 cents to one euro dollar. So we are sliding very quickly. And all the Chinese have to do is say, we're not buying anymore. And after about 2 weeks, we'll have an implosion in our country. So we're being controlled and bought up by outsiders controlling the nation. One thing that has to be shut up, because the outsiders don't believe like Americans believe in the majority, is the Christian voice, the Christian activism, and the Bible, and those principles. So we see so much of attack going on, and the spread of atheism in so many venues. It's not even being called atheism. It's just turning against God, not just in the school systems, in the government. It's in business. I mean, it's in many places this season, not a Christmas tree anymore. It's called a family tree. Last year, it was the holiday tree. They're just getting rid of anything to do with what you and I believe in. And so we live in a very perilous time. And things are very, very tense outside of our country, especially Southern California, because we're in la-la land. We don't represent anything except a bunch of us that are rejects from all the other states and the sunshine. We're here to surf. But the rest of the country doesn't feel what we feel. But they feel, and they have found for many, many years, that if you can sell it in Southern California, it'll happen in the rest of the country. Specifically, for many, many years, San Diego was the proving ground and the testing ground for major fads and trends. In the 60s, basically everything except for the Beatles and the miniskirt and the Ford Mustang came out of San Diego, tested first. And then they knew what my generation would fall for the rest of our life growing up. They tested it all here, and they still do use this as a test market. So what we'd like to look at is point two. Number one, we want to be watchful people. We want to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Number two, we want to be ready. So if we know a major key is going to be some movement in the Middle East, that the Jews are going to come to some understanding that they can have their temple on the same mount that the Muslims have their mosque, then we know that the tribulation, as we know it, would already start, because there would be 7 years of a peace period of 42 months, and then this great tribulation of 42 months, and then the end comes and Jesus returns. So if 3.5 years goes by in the beginning of sorrows and the church disappears and there's no resistance against a leader to rise up out of Europe and then move his headquarters to Jerusalem, and in his peace plan for 36 months as the Jews are at peace with the Muslims, and then when they get the temple built, they would see this guy stand up in the temple and proclaim that he's God. He says, don't come off the roof and go back and get a change of clothes. Things are going to rapidly decline. Move out. Hope it's not on the Sabbath day where you're back to your Judaism and can only walk 1 mile. Pray that you're not a woman that's just given birth to a baby and that baby is nursing, because then you'd be carrying a burden and you could only go so far. Pray that it's not in winter, because it would be so cold and you would have to be fleeing like crazy to get away from the destruction that's going to come. So those days are going to be so wicked, so horrible, so bad, that there's never been a problem like it ever seen on the planet. World War I and all of its mustard gas killing so many hundreds of thousands of people. World War II with 500,000 people slaughtered. All the atrocities in Africa and the Potpol massacre of the million or more Cambodians in the 60s that were massacred. The Laotians and all of that that has gone on. This is a horrible atrocities. The 6 million Jews that have been murdered and gassed in the chambers of World War II. The 5 or 6 million Christians that were also killed in World War II simply for believing. And never will there be a problem as big as this on the planet, we're told. So let's take a look just for a moment here and see what he's talking about, so you can, number one, be watchful, number two, be ready. Therefore, verse 15, when you see, so some people will be alive, and they'll see what's called the abomination of desolation. And now here's the key. The Bible teaches the Bible. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So now we know that what Jesus is talking about has already been written about. It's Old Testament, and Jesus read it. Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. So whoever reads this, that's you, whoever reads this, let him understand. So it's not going to be a mystery that you couldn't understand. So now go to the Old Testament and go to the book of Daniel. You can just go right to the Psalms if you're new to the Bible. Find the Psalms as the middle there of the Old Testament and go right a few books, about five books or so, and come to Daniel in the 7th chapter. And let's just see what he's talking about. Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head of sugar plums dancing. No, that's not, that's wrong one. Visions of his head while on his bed. Sounds like the Cat in the Hat or something. Then he wrote down the dream, telling, look what it says, the main facts. And that's what Jesus just gave, was the main fact. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And then a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. So two great empires have just risen. One of them a bear, one of them like a lion. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other powers or kingdoms or beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now we see the European Economic Community started out with these 10 horns or 10 countries. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. So there's going to be an overthrow of this kingdom of ten. One guy is going to be so powerful, he's going to knock out three. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. Remember, he's just giving you the highlights. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Now, this is some sort of a judgment courtroom with the Ancient of Days, the Lord. And his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. And that's the description of Jesus in Revelation. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. And look at this. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. So a great judgment. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. They lost their power. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And we know that Jesus will return in the clouds. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. His kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So I came near to one of those who stood by, and I asked him the truth about all this. Can you explain it? So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. And here's the interpretation. Those great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So no matter what world government rises to destroy God's people, the meek are going to inherit the earth. You're going to make it. Those great beasts which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive Then I wished to know the truth about that fourth beast, which was different from all the others. He is exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron, its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So there is going to be a major world government that is going to rise up out of what, if you take these governments, the Babylonian, the Roman government, and then this fourth kingdom that's going to rise up that has some iron in it, which was a sign in other chapters of Daniel that you could see that that would be the Roman. And tonight we have a kingdom in a power that is actually economically getting stronger than the United States of America. That is a formation of the old Roman Empire and its religion and its cohesiveness. It even has its own military like the Romans did. It's called the European Economic Community, the Euro nations. They've combined together. And it's here. And it's out of this coalition that is here in your lifetime, that was never in anybody else's lifetime, that this one power is going to rise up and he's going to come against 3. Now, it's interesting that there are about 3 major European countries that are balking against what's going on now with all the government changes, because one law can be passed in Brussels and it affects everybody. And since some countries are not as far progressed, let's say as Great Britain, that's been around and powerful for years, they have different rules for how you build a building architecturally, the design process possibly, and the inspection process. Different rules for what kind of trucks can go across their highways compared to what Luxembourg or Sweden or somebody might have. But everybody has to accept the same thing. In the last 6-8 weeks, the Brits have been really arguing about this. Now, we have just done this to show you that this 10-headed monster could be bigger than just 10 countries in Europe. If you were to take the way the world is being divided up right now, is the African nations are a coalition of countries right now. The European nations are a coalition of countries. Asia is now coming together as a coalition of countries. And NAFTA has brought together North America, Canada, Mexico, and the United States to do away with our borders, to have a national free trade agreement, and to have, in fact, in the last month, the president of Mexico has confessed on Larry King Live that it is in the plans to do away with the Mexican peso and the United States dollar and the Canadian dollar and have one currency. He said that live on national television while your heart was beating. You're alive. Now, maybe you've noticed it, maybe you haven't, but there are, for the first time ever, Mexican trucks driving on the freeways around San Diego and going to Los Angeles and other places in the country. And they do not have the same stringent laws to have a certain amount of tread on every tire, to have both headlights working and all taillights and other lights working. There has been a lot of laws passed to say that's okay because they've broken down the border. These people that are coming over the border aren't trying to get stopped. And people on our side are not trying to stop them. We've murdered over 40 million of our own people in the last couple of decades by aborting them. We need as many people to sneak into our country as they can so they can get jobs, amnesty or anyway, so they can pay taxes and they can pay money into the Social Security system because it's going to be bankrupt and there'll be no retirement. Because I am a member of the largest generation ever in the history of America. And my generation is turning 60 years old at the rate of 10,000 a day since last January. And it's going to bankrupt the system. That's why some people running for president right now want to have free insurance because they know there is no money in the retirement system to take care of us old geezers. And they also know, since we're not going to be the United States of America like you have been trained to think we are, it makes no difference if we're broke or not because we're one part of a whole world government that's coming. They know these things. They discuss these things. So Jesus, if you think he is just a religious leader, you need to open up your eyes and see that he said, I want to tell you something about the end times. It is so clear that it was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Wonderful thing is, Jesus is endorsing the Old Testament. When you have somebody that says, oh, the Bible is written by men, take them to the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus read the Old Testament. He quotes Moses. He quotes the Psalms. He quotes David. And now he's quoting Daniel. And he's saying, he who reads, you need to understand, he wants you to understand that if you go to Daniel, you're going to see the big picture. So right now, as we are here, they're trying to find a solution. And the breaking point of the solution for peace in the Middle East is a temple on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. If they'll come to a settlement on that, everything else is slam dunk. Because Israel has the most powerful military force in the Middle East. They are sitting on some of the greatest resources untapped in the Dead Sea that have never been touched. They have probably oil that they have discovered recently. They can sustain themselves. They are a democracy. The people vote. They have freedom. They can influence the rest of the world in that area. But the rest of the world is ruled by tyrants and despots in kingdoms, and the people don't have freedom. This is what Iraq was supposedly all about. That another base would be there, that people could be free, and women didn't need to cover their faces. They didn't need to be kicked out of schools. They should be given education. They should be in the workplace. They should be able to be free as a man. But because of the system over there, that's why Israel is the enemy of everybody, because they truly have freedom. And God has given them that freedom. So let's go on just a minute and see if we can uncover a little bit more about this guy. I was watching in the night, verse 13, visions. Behold, one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And they brought him near before him to the Ancient of Days. I, Daniel, was grieved, so I asked, verse 18, but the saints of the Most High will reign. Then I wished to know about the fourth beast. And then in verse 20, the 10 horns that were on its head and the other horn and the pompous words. In verse 21, I was watching and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. He's going to come against anything that belongs to God. Laws will be changed. That's what he's saying. He's going to prevail. He's going to make it illegal for pastors. It's illegal already in Canada. They've already put a pastor in prison in Sweden for just reading about homosexuality in the Bible. And the next thing with our city council is they allow marriages, men marrying men. And the next thing is that anything's a hate speech. I mean, what wimps? I mean, you can't even talk. I mean, I grew up on the streets and you said what you wanted to say and it got said and that was it. But you didn't go away whining. I'm going to tell my mommy, you know. So they're trying to take freedom of speech away under the guise of hate crime. Let me give you a little clue here. Any crime is a hate crime. Because the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. You have to hate your neighbor to trespass or to steal or to rob. So any crime's a hate crime. If you really love people, you'd never commit a crime. Doesn't that make sense? So I mean, to zero in on my sexual deal over here, I'm sorry about your sexual deal over here. It's wrong. It's completely wrong. And God is right. And God made us. He knows how he made us. He's not confused about it. So to try to change 5,000 years of history of a man's body and a woman's body, and then to make the good people the bad people because they're afraid to talk, sorry, it's not right. And so there is going to be a power, though, where he's going to prevail until the Ancient of Days intercedes. Judgment was made in favor of the saints. So there's a courtroom somewhere in the universe where the Lord and whoever these people are, they sit down. They say, hold it, we're in favor of the saints. The saints are going to win on planet Earth. Not the devil and his boys. The saints are going to win. You're on the winning side with Jesus Christ. The fourth beast, he said, is a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different and shall devour the whole planet. Trample it, break it in pieces. The 10 horns are kings. So there's going to be 10 kingdoms that will be powerful. Who shall arise from this kingdom. So this one guy who takes over the kingdom of the platform, probably from Europe, will then set 10 administrative heads around the world, it looks like. And another shall rise after them. He'll be different from the first ones and shall subdue the three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He's going to be anti-God. He'll be an atheist. Shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and laws. And boy, are we watching that go on right now. Changing times and laws. The changing holidays, changing laws quickly. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for three and a half years, which would be 42 months, for a time, times, plural, 2.5. So that goes with Revelation, 42 months of 3.5 years, that there's going to be a pseudo peace, and there's going to be a one world religion, one world government, one world caste system. But the court shall be seated. So God's always watching what's happening on this planet. They shall take away his dominion. So heaven's going to take away this guy's authority to consume and destroy it forever. And then the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High God. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So this is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me. I don't blame him. And my countenance changed, but I kept this matter in my heart. So in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. So I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking that I was in Shushan. He wasn't getting his shoes shined. He was in Shushan, the citadel or the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was by the river Ulai. Isn't it interesting? You're reading words and you're hearing words with your ears right now, the same ones that Jesus of Nazareth read. Just think that he knew these. He sat there and read these just like you are right now. To think the King of the universe would refer back to the printed page. That's an amazing thing. How important it is that you and I would fall in love with this book and live by this book and get the answers to every puzzle from this book. Then he says in verse 3, I lifted my eyes and I saw there standing by the river was a ram which had two horns, and two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. And I saw the ram pushing westward towards us, northward, southward, so that no animal could withstand him, so powerful. He's just over there just wrecking havoc. Nor was there any that could deliver from his hand, but he did according to his will, and he became great. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth. So this thing had wings. This had an air force or missiles. It came out of the west, crossed the whole surface of the earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. So from the west to the Middle East, some huge collision, head-on collision. Remember, a bear was involved in this, and Russia is a bear, and she is backing Iran right now. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, broke his two horns. There's no more power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver that ram from his hand. Therefore, the male goat grew very strong. But when he had become strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, towards the east, and toward the glorious land, or towards Israel. And it grew up in the midst, grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices. Now here's the abomination. By him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. So this prince now is going to have a reach in outer space. You're all aware that China is getting ready to land a lunar module on the moon. And I know you're all aware that Japan is getting ready to launch something in orbit. And the Chinese have a plan in place that their satellite network will be able to blast any missile or any satellite that America has, shut down our complete internet system, shut down our complete television system, communication system, cell phones, and everything. The Russians have a plan with a electromagnetic impulse bomb that can be set over Kansas at an explosion of 3,500 feet and ricochet across the country and shut down all electricity, and everything will be dead in our country. Now, if we do a nuclear exchange with any of these people that want to start doing it, we're going to have a cold winter, a nuclear winter, that life won't come back to the planet for a long, long time. This new power that's rising reaches up into heaven. And you're living in a time when the powers of the world actually can launch off a pad in going to heaven. And in the next few months of our lives, if Jesus should tarry, there will be electronic devices setting on the moon besides the lasers that we set up there when our men went on the moon, because we realized what it would take to get to the moon. And they used computers in that Apollo 13 and those other missions that were huger but less powerful than your laptops that some of you have with you. And those guys strapped themselves in those little things and flew to the moon and made it. But they knew the real battle isn't building on the moon. The real battle is, let's get a network around the earth of satellites so we can control information and we can listen in on anybody's telephone conversation. We can read anybody's email with the National Security Agency's Echelon program. It's scanning your computer right now when you leave it on. And if it sees any buzzwords, it goes right in and reads what you're talking about or what you're downloading and marks you as somebody to follow, or you're a bad guy, or forget it. You just have some newspaper articles, or you're just using words. And having the control of outer space frees you to then go to Mars and try to find a place before this planet dies and get all the intelligentsia off the planet into a base to live in so they can carry on human life, because they've extrapolated out when they know that the world is going to come to the collision of the Ram and the West. Now, if those of you who are in the insurance, life insurance business, could sit down with a laptop right now and line up every person in the line here, get their birth date and ask them some pertinent questions, and you could hit an enter button, and in just a few seconds, you could tell that person exactly the day they're going to die. Why couldn't the thinkers of the world know when this thing's going to fall apart, and that's why they have to get off the planet? They know. Insurance companies know the day you're going to die by actuary. Now, you may live a day more or a day less. But I have a friend in Phoenix, a pastor, that every time I talk to him, how you doing? Well, he's down to 322 days or something right now. His insurance agent told him when he's going to die. So he's living every day as if it's his last day, and he's preaching Jesus everywhere in Phoenix. So I said, don't talk to me like that. I want it to be a surprise. I don't want to figure it out. So then it happened when I, Daniel, verse 15, these powers are confronting each other. In verse 15, chapter 8, was seeing the meaning. Suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell on my face, and that hurt. And he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. You just heard things and read things that refer to when you're alive. And Jesus said, he that reads, get understanding, because it's when the temple is in place, you're already too far down the road. And if they're negotiating the temple today and yesterday in Annapolis, Maryland, how far are we away from those 36 months leading up to this scene that Jesus said, be ready, because it's going to be horrible. You guys, we have to live our lives watching and ready for the return of Jesus Christ. We can't be playing games and messing around. We can't be wasting our youth, our health, our mind, our intellect, our education, our finances, our abilities, our gifts, our talents for anything in this world. We've got to give it all to the cause of Jesus Christ, that we can help evacuate planet Earth. There are billions of people that are going to be in hell for eternity. And you have the power in your hand to surrender your heart to God and use every ounce of your being to help warn this planet that damnation and judgment is coming. And they have a way out through the hand of God reaching down from heaven and rescuing them through the cross of Jesus Christ. You are somebody that God has prepared for these days. Now as he's speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and stood me upright. And then he said, look, I'm making known to you what shall happen in the last days of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall come. The ram which you saw having the two horns, they're the kings of Media and Persia, Iran. The male goat is the kingdom of Greece, the Grecian empire. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king. As for the broken horn, the fourth that stood up in his place, four kingdoms shall rise out of that nation, but not with power. And in that latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. It's going to be satanic. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive, and he shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, manipulation and deceitfulness. He shall exalt himself in his own heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He will take all the money from the rich and the wealth, and he's going to bankrupt the world. He shall even rise against Jesus, the Prince of Princes. He shall be broken without human means. There's no way, once the Lord deals with him, that he can ever have a way to get back to who he is. But remember, in Zechariah, it says about the Antichrist, he is wounded in the head with a weapon, with a sword. And if you go to the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and you look up that text in Zechariah, the word sword literally translates into English a military weapon, which doesn't necessarily mean bladed. It could be an assassination shot to the head. We know that his right eye and his arm is going to be withered. But while he's on that operating table, the devil is going to possess this leader. And he's going to come alive, and the devil's now going to use the body. You see, because now he's ultimately spit in God's eyes. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Same thing. He's got devil as the father, the devil's kid, who's just been assassinated, and the world leader, and then the imitation Holy Ghost by him possessing him and now pulling the reins of the world through a human body. See, he has to have a body. And his demons have to possess animals or human beings, or they're just floating around on Halloween. They need to get inside of pornography. They need to get inside entertainment. They need to get inside music. They need to get inside books. They need to get into publishing. They need to get into anything that comes in through a person's eyes and minds to get into their heart and then control their actions. They're wicked. They're evil. They're on this planet. You and I are vulnerable to them. We are completely naked, nude, exposed to them. There's no way we can fight them without putting on the whole armor of God. We need the helmet of salvation. We need the breastplate of righteousness, our loins covered and girded with the truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the word of God in our hand, the sword of the Spirit. We need to realize we're at war because we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Otherwise, you're just walking a target through the mall, and every demon-possessed person that is really one of the devil's kids sees you as vulnerable and will use you and manipulate you and get from you what they can and drain your life into them because they don't exist without evil in them. So they promote evil. And as a man was telling me Sunday, you know, there's a young woman that went to your church and she would be working out at the gym and there was this lecherous guy that was body buffed and walking around all the time strutting. And his whole thing when I talked to him was hitting on women. And this girl from your church who was very attractive, working on her treadmill, said, "Hey, you want to read my Bible?" And before he knew it, she moved in with him. She is suicidal now and she's walked away from the Lord and lost her sanity. And this guy's gone into another woman and this man has challenged him. You see, the devil and his kids can only breathe this oxygen and exist if they drain you of their life, of your life, so they can have your energy to carry out their mission. You, on the other hand, call upon God for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, that living water, Jesus said, will gush out of your innermost being, and he will flood you with the power, and your life source comes directly from him. But if you're foolish and stupid, and you give your energy to sin and to things around you that are just planted there to drain you and suck you dry of any hope or aspiration or vision, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. You're alive to be in this battle. You're alive right now to be a blessing to people, not a curse, to be considerate and kind, clean, brave, reverent, thrifty. You're a Boy Scout almost, right? But you have a purpose for your life. And it's not for you. It's for you to expend yourself so those that are dead can be born again and that you can be a light that shines so brightly that people will see your good works and give glory to God. Not give glory to you for your good works, but give glory to God. 70 weeks at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. He informed me and said, "Daniel," I was speaking, verse 21, "Gabriel, the same one that came down and talked to Mary and Elizabeth, whom I have had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reach me about the time of the evening offering." So an angel flies through one time dimension into another, and he informed me they can communicate with us. He informed, so he transferred data from his brain, from the angel's brain to his brain, and then he talked with him, he could converse, and they could speak the same language. And he said, "Oh, Daniel, heaven knows your name, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk to you. I have come forth to give you skill to understand. You have the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of your prayers and supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter, understand the vision." Is that not encouraging to us? I'm going to ask Sandy and Evan and Phil to come back, and we're just going to worship the rest of the evening. But isn't that encouraging that he could pray, and angels are standing in the throne room and listening to the prayers, and God is saying, "Go down there and talk to him and tell him this is what I want him to know"? That you've been praying this afternoon, you've been praying this evening, you prayed yesterday maybe. God heard that prayer, and he's sending heaven to speak with you. And here's what he says. 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin. And next week we'll pick this up and we'll look at point 3 and 4. Number one, the Jesus plan for Christian living in the end times is be watchful. Keep your eyes open and don't get deceived. Number two, Jesus said, be ready. When you see something that has happened in the Old Testament take place in the Middle East, you know there's about 42 months left and all hell is going to invade planet Earth and even God's people that are alive at that time. Now, it is interesting that he says there will be saints and that the government rule will legislate against the saints and they will lose. But they can run and hide in him. But Paul the Apostle spoke about something differently to the church in the city of Thessalonica. For he said, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we, Christians, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up in the air with him, always to be together. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So now we know there is a horrible tribulation, and many of the people maybe you and I have witnessed to are going to come to know Jesus. The Jews are going to come to know Jesus. But there is a group of people that will be alive when Jesus comes to call his church, and we will be snatched away, and that's where the word rapture comes from. So there is a group of people that will be taken up even before this abomination desolation. That could happen this evening. Could happen tomorrow morning at 11:03 Eastern Standard Time. It could happen, who knows when that's going to happen. But we know this, if you were to miss it, and you know Jesus is coming back, but living for your flesh is what you live for, and you just keep walking away from Jesus, you know what? You've been warned. The minute the abomination that makes desolation in that holy place, you know you've got to stay alive for 42 months, and then the king is coming, and you need to call out to him. But why go through that? Why not just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm 29 years old, I'm 102 years old, I'm 63, I'm 49, I'm 27, I'm 16. I want to surrender everything I have to you. I want to be used by you, I want to glorify you. Give me your life and your power to be a witness unto you." And then if he comes back tonight, praise the Lord. If he comes back in a year, praise the Lord. You know, at least you were out doing what you were designed to do. Let your little light shine and don't let Satan it out. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Dear Jesus, we're so grateful to you. And we would pray now as we worship that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us with power and speak to us as we sing. Just as we sing, move on us in miraculous power and speak to us as clearly as you did Daniel. And let your Holy Spirit interpret for us the things that Jesus spoke of and even the very words that Jesus read himself with his own eyes. Speak to us right now in the midst of worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.